Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to A Christian Manifesto today, episode number 44. My name is Daniel White III, president of Torch Leadership Foundation. Pastor and Christian philosopher Dr. Francis A. Schaeffer, Sr., warned us and created the war plan, if you will, that we as Christians need today to deal with a society that is increasingly moving away from God and has done so at this point. Also leaving the Bible and moral principles based upon the Holy Word of God in the Bible. And Dr. Francis Schaeffer wrote A Christian Manifesto nearly 40 years ago now, and its words are just as relevant today as they were back then. He was one of the four modern-day prophets of the church, along with Dr. D. James Kennedy, Dr. E. V. Hill, and Dr. Jerry Falwell, Jr. They warned us of these days that we are experiencing today. Yes, even the days of the plague, the coronavirus plague. Our Christian Manifesto today, passage from the Word of God, is Romans chapter 13, verse 1, which reads, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Our Christian Manifesto today, quote, is from Dr. R.C. Sproul. He said, "From sacred scripture, we see representatives of the church not trying to become the state, but offering prophetic criticism to the state, despite the potential consequences. The church is not the state, but it is the conscience of the state, and it is a conscience that cannot afford to become seared and silent, especially so, made so rather, by the politicians themselves." Beloved, in this podcast, we are using as our text A Christian Manifesto by Dr. Francis A. Schaeffer. Dr. Francis A. Schaeffer continues in The Limits of Civil Obedience, Part 4. Geneva. The area became Protestant by vote of the Common Council in 1533 and 1534. Calvin came to Geneva in 1536. There was no open war, but the Reformation was established despite the constant threat of war by the House of Savoy. Because John Knox of Scotland is such a clear example, I will give more detail concerning him. Knox was ordained to the priesthood in 1536. The year William Tyndale was executed. After studying at St. Andrew's University near Edinburgh, where Samuel Rutherford later was rector, Knox was also a lawyer and a bodyguard to the fiery evangelist George Wishart. Shortly Thereafter, Knox accepted a call to the ministry and began attacking the Roman Catholic Church. This was extremely dangerous since the Roman Catholic Church exerted a dominant influence over the Scottish state. Knox was prevented from preaching on Sundays. The dates were conveniently filled by priests. Knox held services on weekdays, during which he refuted what was said by others on Sundays. So successful were his efforts that a majority of those in Edinburgh made an open profession of the Protestant faith by participating in the Lord's Supper as administered by Knox. On June 30, 1547, Knox, along with others, was captured by French forces in the war with England. Disaster that this was, it was better than what would have happened if the Scottish government had apprehended him. Most likely, he would have been burned at the stake. After almost 2 years as a galley slave, Knox gained his liberty. He landed as a refugee in England in 1549 and resumed preaching. He was so effective that Protestant families in Scotland, hearing of his ministry, crossed the border illegally and resettled in Berwick, England, so as to be near him. Knox is rightly thought of as a radical reformer. There is, however, an important distinction to keep in mind concerning him. Throughout his ministry, Knox appealed for moderation and compromise whenever truly fundamental issues were not at stake. Attempts to keep the English crown in Protestant hands failed, and in August of 1553, the Roman Catholic Mary Tudor entered London. Many of the outspoken Protestants were taken captive and imprisoned. Knox was able to escape from the country to Geneva, Switzerland. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic and more in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us in these days of compromise and acquiescence. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to stand firm on your word and to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. For your glory, praise, and honor, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you're listening today and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can trust Christ as Savior today and be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, please accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. And so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. We die spiritually because of sin and are separated from God in a place called hell. Third, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean, wicked, hateful people and murderers and whoremongers. You know what a murderer is. You know what a whoremonger is. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, and idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars, I am sure you know what a liar is, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, beloved, this is bad news, but here is the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you because you are in this world. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ." He was speaking of himself. "That whosoever," that word "whosoever" is an old English word that means anybody at any time, "believeth in him," that is, has faith in, trusts in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish." Perish where? Perish in hell forever, but have everlasting life in heaven with God forever. Dear friend, just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. It goes on, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You will be saved. Do it right now. Until next time, my beloved, please continue to stand for the Lord and his word. God bless you.